majesty. Let's stand as we sing this one, why don't we? 32. Good morning. Good to see all of you today on a beautiful, beautiful morning. I just think, you know, we sing that song, Majesty. If we were in a country where we had a real king and he walked in, everybody would stand, wouldn't we? Or president, whatever it would be. And so Jesus is the King of all kings. Welcome today. Just a few announcements I'll go over as always. The ladies, for those women, on this Tuesday, there's a special event, if you read that. But if you're planning to come, then sign the sheet in the narthex. Also, tomorrow night is men's group. That's in the social hall at 7 o'clock. So, other announcements on that page, I'll let you read. We do have communion today. We have open communion here. If you're visiting with us, you are more than welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper. Also, the consistory. There, you see the congratulations. We had a very good annual meeting last Sunday afternoon, well attended, so thank you for all of that. Big thanks again to the women who served the lunch. After joys and concerns, I'll have the consistory come up here just to introduce them. Most of you know them all, but maybe not all of you do. So if I forget that after joys and concerns, then somebody flag me down, okay? All right. Last thing I'm going to mention is there's a lost and found table out there. There's some couple sweatshirts, one's from Freeman Regional Hospital. I don't know whose that might be. And there's some very nice dishes, bowls, very nice, that I don't know if they were left from soup kitchen in December or what, but they are on that table as well, and there's no name on them. So take a look after church, please. The rest of the announcements, I'll let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a beautiful morning. The more mild temperatures, at least from what we have been experiencing, are wonderful. We praise you for the warmth of the sunshine, for the days that are getting longer, little by little. It just brings joy to all of our hearts, puts a spring in our steps because we know that spring is coming. But most of all, Father, we are thankful to be gathered here as brothers and sisters in Christ, in this sanctuary, in your presence. Father, there we say, as the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so here we are in your temple, in your presence, to worship you with everything that is within us, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, as always, I ask that as you fill this sanctuary with your presence, that you would move mightily among us, filling us with the Holy Spirit of God, touching our lives in every way that is needed. Thank you for being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our opening hymn is 572, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Let's stand as we sing this hymn. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Such a beautiful hymn written by Fanny Crosby, who lost her sight at, remember how old she was? Who was with us? Remember how old she was when she lost her sight? Sorry, putting you on the spot. 8 years old or something. And wrote hundreds of hymns in her life. Well, take a moment, greet each other before you're seated, please. Well, I have some things written down here. First of all, the one-act play got a superior this last Thursday in Sioux Falls at their state competition. So, yep, congratulations to them. We have several in the church who were a part of that in one way or another. Let's see. Also, Emma Lynn. Are you here, Emma Lynn? Yep, praise the Lord. She had an appendicitis attack. That's what you call it, last Sunday, and they were able to get her in for emergency surgery in the afternoon, praise the Lord, before it ruptured, and so she's coming along well. Emma Lynn is one of our seventh graders, so I said to her mom, well, she doesn't have to worry about that organ for the rest of her life anyway. Prayers for Mariette Ramos. This is Mark's mom, and is she in Yankton's at the hospital yet? She had fallen and broken her hip on, well, Thursday, and the surgery was Friday. She's 99, but she really does well. Still had been living in her own apartment. So prayers for Marriott. Also, prayers for Greg Wilcoxon. He is the treasurer for our denomination, the whole denomination, the Four C's. So that's pretty amazing that we have that right in our local church. Anyway, they have board meetings in Orlando, Florida, starting tomorrow evening. So he'll be flying down there. We pray for safe travels and connections and for the meetings and his flight home Wednesday night, God willing, for all of that. Well, I'll see what else you have here on this side. Cindy. Robert Shane Fish's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Robert. And Abby, his wife, is tomorrow. God bless you both on your birthdays. And Abby, as she is with child, so due in June, I think. Yeah, congratulations. Anybody else over here? Okay, over here. Okay, quiet bunch today. All right, let me just look once more here. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the one-act play, the talents that you put within those kids for the acting and performing like that. It's a blessing to watch, and we pray blessings on their lives in the future. We thank you for Emma Lynn Heckenleibel, that things just worked very promptly last Sunday, and they were able to get that appendix out before it ruptured, and we thank you for your continued healing working in her body as she recovers from that. We pray the same for Mariette Ramos as she recovers from the surgery to replace her hip at 99, and it's amazing, Lord, what the gifts and talents you've put within medical science. And as always, we give you all the glory for your healing power, working in Mariette, working in these others, Marvin Gehring, Ruth Breeding, Lonnie Herbolt, Ken Winterstein, Jan Nebelsek. There's many listed, Erna Zabe and Larry Zabe and Bill Headley. We just lift them all to you and thank you for your power in their lives. We pray for Greg as he flies down to Orlando tomorrow and all the other board members that will be doing the same. Take them there safely, we ask. We pray that you guide and direct in these board meetings all of Tuesday and part of Wednesday. Jesus, let them be led by your Spirit in all of their discussions and decisions, we pray. Father, we thank you for our young mothers. We have several of them in the church that are with child, and we just lift them up to you. Our Rachel, our daughter, and Cindy Heckenleibel, Nicole Monkfold, Abby Shane Fish, Emily Melhoff. Did I get them? I know Macon's wife, Allie Oplinger. Maybe others. Lord, it's the miracle work that you do of knitting those little ones together in the womb. And we thank you for the work you're doing in each of these young ladies. And we pray your blessings upon them and strength in the remaining months that they have. And we pray for good delivery time also. Thank you, Lord, for our highway workers again. They've just been very busy this weekend. And those that run the maintainers for private business and the first responders and the firefighters and all those that have to work outside, especially those with the livestock, the cattle and the lambs, and those that are beginning or getting ready to lamb and calve out, that you just be with them in the conditions of all this and help it to go well. We pray for that. Father, we want to lift our state to you. We're blessed to live in South Dakota. Thank you for our governor, our representatives and senators in the legislature and peer. Guide them in their every decision. And we pray the very same for our nation, Father. Your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Lord, we declare that you are. You are our God and our Father. And your word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you can turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. We trust you in that. We pray for our troops. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them. All around the world, as tensions rise here and there, and things with China and all whatever's going on, Lord, you are sovereign over all. We trust you for directing the affairs. I thank you for Bonnie Zabe here with us from Houston as a healthcare worker down there, and give her strength for what she does in the emergency department and wisdom and guidance through it all. Take her safely home as well. Lord, we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 5, verse 8, thinking about this with communion coming, says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love at the cross and far beyond. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise you. We praise you with our lips, our voices. We praise you with our actions and the jobs that you give us. We praise you, Lord, through our giving, the bringing of our offerings and our tithes into your storehouse. And we do so with great joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. For you have been good, and you are good, and we love you and thank you for working in every one of the lives of this congregation, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and nobody flagged me. Consistory, if you'd come forward, please. I realized it in the prayer. Isn't that something? So, yes. If you'd come, huh? All of the consistory, yeah. Yes, please. The elders can line on one side and the deacons on the other. Just elders, come over to this side here. Yeah. So unfortunately, our newest one on the consistory was Justin Handel. They had previous commitments already lined up months ago for this weekend. So Justin and Joni are not here, but so the deacons, we have Tyler Miller and Ben Crick, Johnny Whale and Daniel Schaefer, and then the elders over here, Ron Schaefer, Shirley Mettler, Steve Pressler, he's vice chairman, Ken Stepanik is chairman, and Tim Fryer, I should say, Shirley is co-treasurer with Jennifer Herbolt. So this is your consistory, plus Justin Handel. We thank God for him. Amen. Let's pray over them once, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these individuals standing here as they're serving currently as elders and deacons. We prayed over some of them on Sunday, but I just pray over all of them that you watch over them and fill them with your Spirit, with wisdom and knowledge that is from above and from within. Lord, we endeavor, Jesus, to honor you always as the head of this church, to stay true to your word as best as we can, Father. We know we're not perfect by any means. None of us standing up here, none of us seated in the pews. But your blood cleanses us and you wash us and forgive us from all of our sin. Thank you for Justin, who's not here, and as he'll get in the groove when he comes and starts serving. Bless these, I pray, in Jesus' name and their families. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, you can be seated now. Okay, now the kids can come.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, yeah, hand it to Ann, please.
Are you? You? Okay, cool. I might have to back up a little bit, tiny bit. Oh, thank you. I wanted just to face this way. Thank you very much. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you today?
Good.
It's going to be nice weather. You can go out and build a snowman.
Yeah,
maybe you already did, right?
No.
Well, do any of you have pictures at your house, like pictures of you that are on the wall, of your parents, or pretty much all of us? What's one, or your grandparents? And one you usually have is when you are in each year of your school, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we are all up there. Well, pictures remind us of what we look like and who's in the picture, right? Do any of you have any pictures of anybody that like has gone to heaven? Like a grandma or somebody, do you? Yeah. You have an uncle, right? Mm-hmm.
Me.
Do you have your hand up? Oh, sorry, they're looking at you. You have, yes, grandma. You have a grandma. You probably have her pictures. Do you have somebody?
Grandpa.
Yes, well, you know what? Oh, do you have something up there? Who is that? Oh, Macy.
Your grandpa.
She just raised your hand. Hi. Okay. So I have a picture too. I have a picture of not my grandma. This is my mom and dad. This is a picture of them. But now they both have gone on to heaven. So we have this picture of them on our wall. So when I go down the hallway, then I can see them and I can remember them. And we have other pictures. And remember all of the good times we had, all of the fun growing up, and all of the fun when I was an adult.
What happened?
Do you know they died? They died, yeah. Do you know what Jesus, when he went to heaven, we kind of have a picture of him. But it's not like a picture like this. It's something he did. Before he went to have, before he was died on the cross, he had something called what we're going to do today, the Lord's Supper. Okay, this is a picture that Pastor Mike and his older sister painted, Lori, when they were like in high school. See, it's a picture of what we think the Last Supper looked like. It's a picture of Jesus and his disciples. And this is something that he did to help us remember him. This is what he said. When before he was crucified, he had the meal, and he said he had a piece of bread, and he told his disciples, "This bread is broken, and to remind you, right up there, and to remind you of what I'm going to do for you. My body will be broken so that you can be healed. And then after that, he took a glass of wine, like it's up there. And he said to them, this will remind you of my blood that was shed for us to wash away our what? Our sins. So do this, Jesus said. Everybody say, do this.
Do this.
That's why we're going to do this today. To remember me and everything I've done for you and everything about God, right? So that's what we do. We remember Jesus. When we watch, you don't get to take communion yet, but when you get confirmed, when you're an eighth grader and you get confirmed, that's when you do. And it will be exciting. Okay, so every time we see this, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all these wonderful boys and girls. We thank you for the picture that you left us as we imagine in our minds of the Last Supper. And when you held up the bread and the wine and told us that this bread reminds us of your body broken and this wine reminds us of the blood you shed so we can be saved. Help these boys and girls to remember that, and us as adults too. Bless them wherever they go, these boys and girls, daycare, at home, to school, to preschool, with their neighbors. Help them to be the light. Help them to shine your light and tell them and let them tell others about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What was your question? What was your question?
Okay, thank you, Anne. We'll sing number 22, Praise the Name of Jesus. We'll sing it through twice. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer once more, please. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you, and we give you our highest praise. You are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. In you do we trust. We thank you for your word, the very living word of God. It is like no other book that has ever been written or ever could be written, for it is alive, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So, Lord, speak to us today, we pray. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that you're always working in us, changing us from the inside out. And we yield ourselves to you. And, Lord, I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, one more time. At least one more time. I'm going to start in verse 5 today, though, instead of verse 1. We've been working through this the last couple, three Sundays. So this part, as you'll see as we go through it, does tie in with the Lord's Supper. Part of the verses do. But starting in verse 5, he's saying to the believers then, to us today, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, we could put and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we've been given this very precious faith. Verse 1, he talked about that. A gift, we've received it. So again, this is written to believers as we're working through it. We've been given by his divine power everything we need for life and godliness to live on this earth. He gives us everything we need to grow. Number one, if you're doing your outline. Number two, these are the steps we can take to grow in him following these seven virtues that he listed out. I'm not going through all that, but we need those in our lives. We cooperate with the Spirit of God and his word working in us to grow spiritually. So today, third point. So what's the result? That's where we're going to get going here. What's the result? Well, he lays out two choices, two options in this. Listen to verse 8 and 9. I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. He says, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old sinful life. All right, so first choice, first option is the positive choice, okay? That's the right choice. It involves our spiritual growth, what we need to do. NIV, if you possess these qualities, those seven virtues, in increasing measure. Listen to the New Living, the more you grow like this, okay? Amplified, listen to this one. As these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, and then it goes on. Grow, 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 right? There's a little song the kids sometimes sing, read your Bible, pray every day. Remember, they start out low, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And the song goes, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Okay? Pretty basic, isn't it? Something is going to be growing in our lives. I'm talking spiritually, all right? Not talking physically, but spiritually. Something is going to be growing in our lives. Either these seven virtues, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Something's going to be growing. Hopefully those, it's either going to be that or it's going to be when we come into the negative choice, which is the second option, that we don't want. And some, yeah, there's always some of both growing, but it's like in natural lives, what you feed the most is going to be what grows the most. Are we feeding our lives towards these seven virtues? That's why we're here today, isn't it? Or towards the opposite of it? It's like in our fields, our gardens, our lawns. What we fertilize them, don't we? We help them along so that the fruit and the vegetables, the crops can all grow. But always, whatever it is, garden, field, lawn, we're always fighting against those weeds, and we always will, because that's part of the curse of the law. We always are fighting against that. We all know, just because we fertilized last year and did everything we knew to do, maybe sprayed the lawn in the fall, maybe sprayed again in the spring, it has to happen every year, or those weeds will overtake. So, these qualities need to be growing. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. So there are these seven virtues, very similar to the nine fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I always say that means you can do as much of any of those as you want and you aren't going to get in trouble. No law against it. Do it. But I've said before too, and then we'll get into the works of the flesh here in a little bit. What comes out when you get squeezed? In other words, squeezed meaning when the pressure comes on in a situation. What comes out? Talking to myself too. The fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? Well, we all know sometimes it is the works of the flesh. Hopefully most of the time it's the fruit of the Spirit. Let's not have a banana split come out when you get squeezed. Right? Let's have the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the positive choice. How about option two that he lays out in verse 9 is the negative choice, and that is spiritual decline. The first option is growth. He's saying it again and again, grow, add to your faith, all of these things. But the opposite is the negative, verse 9. If anyone does not have them are those seven virtues. He is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So if these virtues are not growing, then what is growing? The acts of the sinful nature. You know what? Galatians 5 brings those out also. Listen to them. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This is what we don't want. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, that's wild living, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, right? That's this. Factions, that's this, same as discord. Envy, he says envy once, he says jealousy once. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I was counting through those this morning as I was going over, and at least four times he's dealing with sexual sin. Three times he's dealing with factions against each other. Jealousy twice. He's talking about fits of rage, hatred. That gets into anger. Drunkenness. That's right in there too with all the sexual sins. All lined up the same. And what does he say? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, meaning continually, every day, every day, every day. I don't care. I'm just going to do it. This is my life. What does he say? Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Peter says they are nearsighted and blind. Nearsighted. Right? That's when you can see things that are close up clearly. You can see that. Farsighted, things far away. You can't see so well. That's why I had to get glasses after a couple years here at Menno, because I just couldn't quite see the time on that clock back there. Sometimes I still can't see it. Maybe I don't want to see it. Just kidding. No, the picture here. And this person has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. What he's trying to say is this person is so controlled by these acts of the sinful nature, the lusts of the flesh, that he is no longer able to discern his own or her own true spiritual condition. And then what happens? He just thinks that following all the lusts of the flesh is normal. That's all just normal, the sexual immorality, the drunkenness, the orgies, the jealousy, the fits of rage, the idolatry, the witchcraft. It's all just normal because he's nearsighted, can't see far beyond, can't see his or her own spiritual condition. And the worst thing that results from that is, as he says in verse 9, back in 2 Peter, he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. This is talking to a believer now. Amplified says he has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's getting in a bad place. I think we all know it. I've been asked different times, maybe thinking about some of these, the works of the flesh and all. So, and I've shared this with you before over the years, but the question would come to me, so Pastor Mike, can a believer be possessed by an evil spirit? No. A true believer in Jesus Christ cannot be possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within that person. That's why. And if the Holy Spirit is indwelling our spirit being, there is no room for an evil or demonic spirit to be in there. Can't happen. But then I always go on with the statement that, however, a believer, if they are not careful with what they're thinking on and doing, they can come to the point where they can be oppressed in their mind by an evil spirit. And that's, to me, what Peter's warning against here. Don't want that to happen. Even forgetting, he says, that they've been cleansed from their past sins. When a believer has forgotten that, that's what we're talking about in communion. That's one of the reasons why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that we call a sacrament. Why he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Just what Ann talked with the children about. Do it in remembrance of me, that you don't forget the cost, the price that was paid for your salvation. It's hard for us to comprehend it in ways because we weren't there. But yet, to me, the movie that was made, that's probably been 20 years ago, I suppose now, The Passion of Christ, I imagine a lot of you have seen it. That, to me, is a movie that at least depicts it probably the closest that we've ever seen in a movie. I'll say it that way. That is very hard to watch. We saw it. We were living in Timberlake the first time it came out. We went down to Pier, watched it in a theater there. We had one of Nathan's college friends with us. He was from India, so he was Hindu, but he went with us. Well, I'm glad I did not buy popcorn that time, because I tell you what, when the whipping and the beating started, if you've seen it, it was more than I could handle to watch. And in my mind, what was going through my mind watching that was, kept going, okay, we got the point. That is enough. Enough, it's enough, enough. And it just kept going and going and going. And that wasn't even as bad as what the movie depicted as what Jesus really went through. There's a verse in Isaiah, I didn't look up the chapter and verse here this morning, speaking prophetically ahead 600 years about the cross, saying that his visage, his appearance was marred more than any other human being, even beyond recognition. And it had to be with all that he endured for us. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. When we come to the table of the Lord as we are today, we think about that. We do not want to fall into that category of those, any who does not have these virtues. We got to be working by that with the help of the Holy Spirit always, of adding these virtues to our life. Faith is the starting point. That's your salvation. That's why he starts there. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and godliness, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, phileo, right? Brotherly love, and then love, agape, the highest, the God kind of love. That's what we always work towards, and we need that in the body of Christ. We do not want to end up like that. Lastly, the blessings of option number one. Listen to that verse 10. I want to read it in the Amplified, where he says, "Therefore, be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God." I love how it says that. It's how we're always working towards. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. I don't know how many times, I'm not trying to pick on the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, but in confirmation classes, we talk about school, which is fine, and what's going on in there, and either one of us, Ann or I, will almost always say, "You kids ought to be the best behaved kids in that school. If you're claiming your faith in Jesus Christ, it needs to show up in your actions." And that's for all of us. All of us, high schoolers, adults, certainly. Listen again. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life, and this part too, again, this is Amplified, you will live a life that leads others away from sin. Don't you want that to be your goal? Boy, I do. Live a life that leads others away from sin. Hey, what? Hey, you want to go get high tonight? Sure. Oh, but I'm going to be in church tomorrow morning. Well, you should be. But you want to lead others away from Christ or to Christ or whatever the example would be. And you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a glorious welcome that awaits you in Christ as you live for Him. Amen? All right. We work on this all together. There is a prayer of confession. If the consistory, if you want to go to the back, please, and prepare for the Lord's Supper. The prayer of confession will be actually on the screen. We're told, in Scripture that we are to examine ourselves, and that is part of this, that we confess our sin. There's a place in here where it comes along and it says pause, and so that's just for each of us, just silently under our breath to whatever it is we need to lift up to the Lord, because He knows, "Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this, and I ask you to forgive me." Name it. Just name it. Okay, ready? Go ahead and put it on. Oh, you're getting it. Okay. There we go. Thank you. All right, let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, as I come to the table that you have prepared for me today, I realize that I need to surrender my heart, my life, and my actions to you once again. Forgive me for getting my priorities mixed up and out of order. Forgive me for not yielding entirely to the leading of your Spirit and to the commands of your word. Heavenly Father, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Okay, let's pause for a moment. Okay, let's go on. As I have confessed my sin to you, I thank you for being faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to never forget the price that you paid for my salvation. Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, my Healer, and my Lord. In your wonderful, magnificent name, I pray. Amen. Amen. If the consistory would come, please. Let's bow our heads once more. Heavenly Father, we come to this table giving thanks to you for giving your only begotten Son to come to this earth to live for us, to die for us, to become sin in our place, Jesus, who knew no sin, to institute this sacrament that we receive with great joy and great seriousness. We thank you for these elements, signs and seals of all that you have done for us, for this bread representing your body, so beaten and bruised in so many ways. This wine and this juice representing the blood that you shed on the cross for us. I ask that these elements would be sanctified for this time and this purpose, that, Lord, as we partake of them, that you bring refreshing to each of our beings, spirit, soul, and body, as you know us inside and out. Lord, I think of the woman who came to you, a Syrophoenician woman. She was not Jewish, but she came for healing and deliverance for her child. And as it goes, she said, if I can just have a crumb that falls from the master's table, a crumb of bread. And Jesus, you said to her, woman, great is your faith. And you healed that child. And so, Lord, much involved in that, but certainly the healing in your body. By your stripes, we are healed. Spiritually first, physically, yes, emotionally, every part of our being. Let your power flow, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the bread is distributed, if you hold the bread and we'll take it together. Thank you. We'll sing, if you want to sing along or if you want to just listen, number 315, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? You there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from Sometimes I feel like shouting, glory, glory, glory. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? The Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Lord Jesus, we were not there to witness the crucifixion or the nails or the tomb. It's hard for us to comprehend what that would have been like. But we thank you for all that you endured in our place. Help us to live for you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The inside ring of each tray has the cups of grape juice. The outer two rings have the cups that contain the wine, for whichever you prefer. Okay. We'll sing, I think it's 308, if you'd like. Yeah. There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that in the same way that water and soap washes dirt off of our physical bodies, so much more the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sin and makes us white as snow, allows us even to commune with you, Father, as friend with friend, to come before your presence and worship you. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, consistory. You can put the cups in the pews there in those little holder places. Well, our closing hymn is they're all beautiful, but this one is a special one. It Is Well With My Soul, 705. Let's stand if you... I hope you know the story behind this. It comes in a man's life of great, extreme tragedy, losing three of his daughters in a shipwreck at sea. And when he went to that place, these were the words that he was given of this hymn: "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glory. Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. What a beautiful hymn to end with. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music on the organ.